Hi, I'm Jennifer Holliday. And music is the language of the heart.
Which is tougher, preparing for Broadway or working on an album?
Preparing for Broadway, for sure. As you know, I am a Broadway baby. I started singing down home in Houston, Texas, in the Baptist Church choir. And that's where I got discovered, while singing in the choir by someone who was in a Broadway show, a young man named Jamie Patterson. He was in a show called Cats. And he came, he heard me, he came up to me and he said, "You have a voice that could work well on Broadway." Well, I didn't know what Broadway was. It sounded a little seedy to me, actually. And so he said, "Listen, if something comes up on Broadway or something like that, would you be interested? And then I could call you and let you know." So about 3 months later, he did call. And he said, "Listen, there's a show going out on the road called Your Arms Too Short to Box with God. There's a great role in it. The lady who originated the role won a Tony Award, and I think you could be great for it. They're having auditions in New York, and it would be great if you could come." I said, "Well, it sounds good, but you got to ask my mama because I'm only 17 years old." So calls her, asks her. My mother says, "Can't go up there, you know, with a man." But he finds his aunt. I go up there. They take me to the audition. I auditioned that day, and I got hired that day. I have never been back to Houston since.
And that was it. But so in Broadway, do they present the whole, the production play? Do you have to read through it? Or?
Well, I was fortunate enough to create my own role in the sense that it was already created, but I got a chance to form it. So very seldom do artists get an opportunity to come in on the ground level of the making of a musical. So it didn't even have a name when I was working on it. It was just called The Project. It was not called Dreamgirls. And so I worked on Dreamgirls in the daytime, and then I did my show Box with God at night.
Were you nervous at all? Because there was this phenomenal cast. You were so young.
I was very nervous because the other artists were already Broadway veterans. Some of them had done movies. Shirley Ralph, the other dream girl, she had already been in a movie with Sidney Poitier, of all people. So a lot of them were actors and actresses who were very well seasoned. I didn't know anything about acting. I did some in Box with God, but not a lot.
Curtis was supposed to love me.
There you are, Effie. I've been looking all over.
The immediate reception was massive in accolades and over 1,500 performances. And coming off that success, you took what is the signature song of the production, whether people want to admit it or not, but it is. And did you know, could you feel something different about that song and what it could mean for you in your career moving forward at that time?
Well, I didn't think so much about my career, because I wasn't trying to be a singer. I got discovered, but I got kidnapped. You know, I was going to go to college. I had plans on being a lawyer and everything. So I was not planning to do music. But I did feel, as we were creating, and I'm telling you, I'm not going, because it was not written when I got there, that it was coming from a very emotional point. I didn't know what it would mean to other people. I definitely had no idea that 32 years later, after the opening on Broadway, that it would still have such a strong impact where music is today.
Dreamgirls, that you were a part of, which was a classic, and then it gets made into a movie. You hear, you read things, you don't know what's true, so it's best just to ask the artist face to face, like, "I'm here with you." Did you like the adaptation, the film adaptation of Dreamgirls?
Well, the Dreamgirls movie and the making of it, not so much the making of it, but the final product of it, and then the birth of Jennifer Hudson and that whole sensation of it. I think it was, to me, one of the darkest times in my life. It wasn't just like passing a torch on to someone else. That's different. And at that particular time, in the sense where a lot of us who are R&B veterans were just having difficulty finding work. And so it was a very hard place for me. I have, I'm sorry, I'm going to stop again.
It's okay. Let me ask you this. Did anyone even approach you and say, hey, this is something worth thinking about, and it's painful for you?
Yeah. So I felt very alone, and I felt very much that I could not fight by myself, because as you know, I don't have a manager, agent, publicist. I'm pretty much a loner, so I do a lot of things myself. So I didn't think how I could take on the people with the movie, and they were determined to make the star out of Jennifer Hudson. So it was kind of like, okay, let's raise one and squash the other. It's like, well, why can't both Jennifers exist? You know? So I found myself in a position having to fight for myself.
How'd you do that? How did you fight for yourself?
Well, first I had to go inside myself to find the courage. The choice was, if I come forward to fight for myself, will it be like, okay, here's an old dream girl just jealous of so-and-so, and don't be a hater, you know? But on the other hand, do I let them rob me of my legacy and everything that I have fought for? Because that's all I have, is this legacy of Dream Girls and my song. I have no children. I have no worldly possessions. I only have this song. So I kept saying, oh, Lord, if they take this from me, then what will become of me? You know? So it was a very dark time for me. And then a wonderful woman named Deborah Norville of Inside Edition, she said, Jennifer, if you do an interview with me, we will tell your story exactly as you want to tell it. She said, but you need to do an interview. She said, I know you don't do interviews. She said, but you need to fight for yourself. Guess if I could tell, you know, in wrapping up your series, and if I could tell young artists and young women and anyone who believes that they have sustained their music, their art, that you're going to have to, you know, you're going to have to fight and be able to take a stand for yourself. And I did it. And once I did it, to my surprise, people took up my cause. I didn't have to hire a publicist. I didn't have anything. And they say, hey, yeah, Jennifer Holliday was here first. It's okay to create Jennifer Hudson, but Jennifer Holliday was already here first and did. So it should be two Jennifers, you know. And people, Steve Harvey took my plight, and Liz Smith of the Daily, people said, wait a minute, hold on. What is it that you all are trying to do? Why can't we have both Jennifers? Do we have to squash one?
And that process sounds like that was a catharsis for you in terms of moving forward and now being able to work on a new project, which you've been in the studio.
I have not recorded a secular album in 22 years. Now, today, I'm doing one of love songs and love standards, and it's a beautiful project. I think it's going to show people how I've grown over the years. So I'm in the process of also a reinvention of myself. You know, so it's a wonderful, you know, just a wonderful feeling.
Miss Jennifer Holliday, thank you so much for coming in and taking the time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.